I grew up in Grand Junction more than anywhere else, but I have traveled around, and one of my appointments was in Ordway, Colorado. Do you know where Ordway is? Go down to Pueblo and head out onto the plains till you can't see the mountains anymore, and you're pretty much there. Tarantulas and roadrunners and sagebrush in the plains. And we in the city have many things, I think, that sometimes we don't appreciate that. I started making a list when I moved here of all the different ethnic restaurants that were close by. I'm out of sheets of paper. Boy, is there a lot of interesting things. Hawaiian and Tongan and Jamaican and you name it. It's just a lot of interesting places. A rich plethora of opportunities. But one thing about the city that we're very poor in is stars. Do you go outside at night and count stars? You could probably get it done. You might be able to spot all the ones that are visible and be able to count them if you took your time. I have to tell you, though, that in Ordway, they are rich in stars. You go north out of town, about 10 miles, and you come up on a hill. And that's right where the cemetery happens to sit, oddly enough. But you pull into the cemetery on a nice, moonless night, and there are more stars. There's a lot of stars up there. They are rich in stars. If you have never just been amazed at seeing the Milky Way galaxy stretching across the heavens, you can stand in awe. That's a lot of stars. Amen? All right. The pagans, the people that were not God followers, and especially in Isaiah's time, Mark read to us about them this morning. And they're reflecting here something out of Isaiah. The pagans named the stars and named the gods associated with all those stars. So you had all these different gods looking down on you, taking care of you, keeping an eye on you, making sure all was well. But in Isaiah, he says, lift up your eyes on high and see the stars. Who created these? These are not the pagan stars of God. Who created those very stars? God, who brings out your host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because God is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. No limitations, nothing that might restrict God from being almighty. And Isaiah is helping just name that and state that difference and setting aside all those pagan gods and those pagan beliefs. And we are reminded that when we turn to God, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As I'm getting older and older, my running is less and my fainting is more. God is not faint. Ours is an awesome God. Amen. The Old Testament lesson brought to us the Isaiah of captivity and as they are coming out of captivity. The New Testament in Mark is a compilation of several different chunks of narrative. Different things are going on there. We hear Jesus comes and he comes into the house and Simon's mother-in-law has a fever and she's in bed with a fever. In that day and age, a fever could be anything. A fever could be fatal. It could be a cold. Who knew? It was a worry. They didn't have doctors and medicine and pills and pharmacies and what have you. And in Jesus' time, healers were everywhere. There were healers doing this, and you'd give them some alms for performing this sleight of hand or whatever trickery or whatever they did, and they were all around, and lots of them with lots of different things. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago that we didn't have traveling salesmen selling their Dr. Fred's feel-good medicine. It was usually alcohol. At any rate, here are healers all around. But Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. He takes her by the hand and lifts her up, and she's brought forward. People hear about this, hear about some of the things he's doing. He's healing people. He's taking care of people. He's casting out demons. The disciples are thrilled. Man, they are popular beyond imagination. How many of you were here when the Broncos won the Super Bowl? Do you remember all the parades downtown? Do you remember the fever? You could walk in anywhere, anytime, and say, "Go Broncos," and you would be welcomed. I did know a fella that was a Steelers fan. He just kept quiet. But boy, oh boy, was that something. I love being on the winning team. How about you? You love being on the winning team? In high school, we had a basketball team, and we won 2 games out of the whole year. It was the way it was. It was a very small school. But I love being on the winning team, and it's just fun to ride that wave. That's where the disciples are. Man, it's great. People are just going nuts. This Jesus, you got to come and see him. And he isn't available. They can't find him. He's gotten up early in the morning. He's slipped away somewhere. We know that he has gone off by himself to pray. But the text said that they went searching for him. The text is better literally translated of, they chased Jesus down. Just think about that mindset. The disciples chased him down and said, "Hey, you got to come. I mean, we're on a roll. Come on, do something exciting. Let's go with this popularity. Let's roll with this." But Jesus says, "Let's go to the next town." See, he isn't here to be about popularity. This is not the Taylor Swift tour. Do I get to use her today? They said that the vast majority of even adults now are Taylor Swift fans. I have to admit, I didn't know much about Taylor Swift. I'm learning a lot fast. She is in the popular culture. But here, Jesus says, "No, I want to go to the other towns and share the message." He has a message that's not about popularity. It's not about healing people. I mean, if all we sought in life was to be healed, we'd be worshiping our doctors or our orthopedists or our different, I can't name even a couple of different kinds of doctors. How many different doctors are there? And most of us have several. But Jesus is not about just healing, because that's about the body. But we want to be healed. Give us a pill. But Jesus is after something else. He is about finding wholeness. Healing ourselves in connection with God. Finding hope, joy, peace, and knowing that solidly enough that nothing can dislodge us from that place. Think about that a moment. I've had a couple of witnesses to that in my life. I was with an architect one day. Doesn't matter the details, but a family that we were going to their apartment to do a quick survey, and they were angry because we were 15 minutes late, and they just unleashed on us about how it was a time, their time was important, and he was wasting it, and boy, they went and went and went, and oh boy, did they unleash. I was kind of getting my hackles up, and the architect waited for him to run down, and he said, "Well, we can reschedule and come back another time, or we can go ahead with this, whichever you'd like." He wasn't impacted by their unsettledness. I remember distinctly thinking, this is a cool character. And it wasn't him just gritting his teeth and saying, well, he can come back. He just didn't engage it. I said, I want that. That's all right with me. That's what we want, isn't it, in life? Isn't it? Wouldn't that be awesome to be at a place where things don't drive us, things don't unnerve us, things don't leave us hours later thinking about them and pondering and fretting and stewing and being unsettled? Place where we can renew our strength and run and not be weary, walk and not faint. This is what God offers us. And this is what Jesus is trying to bring to us. How? He models it. He repeatedly is who he is, regardless of how life around him goes on. Everyone is searching for him. The disciples chase him down. Kind of changes your image of Jesus and the disciples, that they chase him down to find him, say, come on, let us show you, you're getting it wrong. Let us show you how you celebrity should be acting. Let us go to the neighboring towns so that I might proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came to do. You see, Jesus isn't after seekers. He's after seekers. Yes. Those who are seeking him out, give me a pill. Cure me. My foot hurts. Can you take care of this, Lord? I'm getting old and weary. Can you make me feel young again? Lord, give me a pill. Solve my problem. I'm out of money. I solve this, Lord. I help me. I've overspent. They want a quick fix. They want a cure. They want a pill. Jesus is not after those seekers. He has compassion for all. But he's after those who are seeking the kingdom of God. They're seeking something greater. They're seeking. Paya, did you have that picture of the stars and everything? Go ahead. That's a time lapse of some stars above the trees and the universe and all things. All things that are a part of God's creation and seeking to be one with that God, with that Lord. That's what Jesus is seeking, is those seekers. Those who seek to change their lives, to become closer. Who seek not earthly things and earthly acclaim and fame and fortune, but seek a deeper relationship with the Lord. This is the source of all healing. Think about that a moment. Think about, and that was in the song. I wrote it down while we were singing along. The source of all healing. Here is that God that is the core of the universe and is available to us. Let us be those seekers. And let us join, and we are welcomed to come and join. We are welcomed, and we are called. And we are invited. As we turn to communion, let us be called.